Welcome to today's episode of Profitable Word by Reverend Francis W. Albing, Lead Pastor, The Keeper's House Chapel International. And now to today's word.
Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, then we'll do verse 5, and then we'll do verse 16. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus addresses a host of issues, and then he comes to teach us fundamental principles required for us to operate effectively in the kingdom. And in verse 1, he said, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." Praise the Lord. Verse 5 says that, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." And verse number 16 says that, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disguise or disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Praise the Lord. I'm going to take you on a series of sacrifices, but this morning we are talking about kingdom financial sacrifices. Kingdom financial sacrifices, part one. Please take your seat. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus addresses a lot of issues, but key amongst them are some three that I would like to extrapolate. So from verse 1 to verse number 16, he talks to them about three main things. And he talks to them, one, about almsgiving. Then he talks about prayer and then fasting. And Jesus, in teaching, so this is also where he taught them about the model prayer. In doing all of that, two things stand out. When he taught them about giving, prayer, and fasting, he was teaching them about how to do it appropriately. And secondly, he was teaching them on how to receive the rewards from it. So he says that when you do your alms, don't do it like unto men, so that you will receive the rewards from God. If you do it like unto men, then you are being rewarded by men. Same, you are praying, pray inside, and God will reward you outside. Don't do it like, you know, a hypocrite would do it. And then he says, when you are fasting too, don't do it like hypocrites would do it. And so you can see clearly that there are two ways he's trying to show us. The way of the hypocrite, which is the way of the world, and then the way of God, which is the way that will bring you the blessings that you desire as a child of God. So in Jesus' teaching, he's saying that you can be doing the right things the wrong way, and then you will not have the right rewards. Because giving is right, praying is right, fasting is right. But if you do it the wrong way and from the wrong spirit, and you could see that really what he was addressing is motive. The heart behind what we do, the actions we take. And so kingdom actions are important, but more important is even the fact that you need to take them in the right spirit. Praise the Lord. So that you can receive the rewards that come from God. And so we will take one of the things that he taught them. The first thing he taught them was almsgiving. And here, almsgiving, it's very clear that it is material giving. It's not intrinsic giving. It's not immaterial giving. It's not giving by, you know, means of and intangibles. Almsgiving is fidochi kadochi, cash, laja, scampedede level of giving. You are giving cash and kind. But what you are giving is quantifiable. Praise the Lord. Are you here with me at all? So, almsgiving. Jesus teaches that we should be giving We should be giving to people, we should be giving to God. And he talks broadly about when you do your alms, when you give, it comes with a blessing. And so in the kingdom, giving is an important principle, especially giving to the kingdom or giving in the kingdom. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 to 26, Proverbs 11, 24 to 26, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. Then he says that the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. So here we see that every human being needs the help of the Holy Spirit to cultivate what the Bible calls a liberal soul. Because if you depend on your humanness, what will happen to you could be verse number 24. You will become a category of someone. It says that there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but tended to poverty. So there is that human being that scatters or gives abundantly, and then that one sees the reward of increase. Praise the Lord. And then there are also those who withhold. Not just withholding. Withholding is not bad, but more than necessary. So the Lord expects that there should be some form of withholding, but you should do it within a particular boundary. You should be guided. So he says that the people who are not helping themselves are those who hold more than is necessary. And when that happens, he says that it tended to poverty. So two people are here, the actions of one, and they are all doing giving. The actions, one will tend to prosperity, which is increase, and then the other will tend to poverty. But they all went and did actions, and the results were different. This is the issue that is on the table right now. How do we use our giving to go to the next level of our lives? In the verse 25, it says that, verse 25, it says, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. The liberal soul is a generous soul. Somebody who gives freely and is happy to give to God and his work. And here we are talking about giving materially. Financial sacrifices, financial giving. So the liberal soul is not somebody who operates out of his whims and caprices, or he doesn't have a sense of responsibility. He just wakes up, he doesn't have boundary, he just gives anyhow. No. This person is intentional, but he has cultivated a capacity that the Bible calls is a liberal soul. And he says that as that person is doing that, he's actually watering, and this watering will come back to water him. So when you give, it has a positive feedback to your life. When you sacrifice for God, material things, finances, he says you are watering the kingdom of God, you will receive harvest from your watering. But not many people have cultivated the liberal soul phenomenon. That's why I said that every human being will need the help of the Holy Spirit to be able to give to God. Because if you are left to your naturalness, natural men withhold more than is necessary. That's why we come to a lot of your homes. There will be more unuseful materials that you are storing than useful materials. You open your wardrobe right now, you see that the wardrobe is full. But it's a redundancy that's happening there. There are many things there that ought not to be there because they are no longer useful. Either they have become smaller than you or they are way, way bigger than you. But you are just keeping it because you can't just easily let go. I don't know, am I preaching to somebody or I'm preaching to myself? And sometimes you have ideas until your room starts gathering a lot of dust because these things are collecting them for you. And then you sometimes you hoard so much that after a while, when there is a massive cleaning, you'll be wondering, hey, so I had this. So this one too is there. That one too is there. And all, they have become redundant. It says that it makes you poor when you do that. So the kingdom operates in a different way. Now, the reason why we are teaching this is many people say that when it comes to giving in the New Testament, it doesn't have much to do with material giving because Jesus gave his life and all of that. We don't need to talk about money and all of that. We have to talk about money. When Jesus gave his life, it did not exempt the kingdom from being built. And after Jesus died, people gave to the apostles money. In fact, Paul preached a lot about receiving for the church. You read Acts chapter 10, Cornelius. His name popped up because, not just because of his prayer, but also because of his almsgiving. Almsgiving is financial giving. It's giving in kind. It's material giving. It's not just giving by, I'm praying to God. No. You are giving something that is materially quantifiable. Are you here with me at all? Are you sure you are here? In the book of Acts, people brought, they sold their properties and brought it to the church. You can do it well or you may not do it well. Ananias and Sapphira didn't do it well. And they suffered the consequence of it. And so it is important for us to ensure that we are in a place or a position where we do these things and do them well. Praise the Lord. Come on now, praise the Lord. Because there are rewards in it. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 that you shall receive the right reward. So, in 1 Kings chapter 17, I'm taking you to the Old Testament and I'll bring you to the New Testament. Verse 10 to 15, you will see that God calls for great sacrifices. Here, we see that God places a demand on believers anytime we have a dire need. God will always place a demand on you when you have a need that needs attention. In this chapter, we see that verse 10, so he arose and went to Zarephath. He's talking about Elijah. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in my hand. And he said, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Verse 15, let's read it together. One go. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. Praise the Lord. This woman had a need. It was a season of drought. God sent the prophet. He said that the woman that has a need, I want you to go to that woman. I have commanded her to sustain you. Prophet went there. The sustainer herself was in a bad place. He says, I'm gathering two sticks. I have some emorede. I'm going to cook it. I will eat with my son. And when that is done, we are dead. Elijah goes there and says, give me water. And then he says, make me some cake to eat. The woman said, what I have there cannot do cake. Because what I have there, we are going to eat it and we are going to die. The prophet said, make me. So this is a woman who is in a dire need. And yet God has called his prophet to go to her. And the pressure is required of her, or is requiring of her, to give instead of receiving. When you are in this position, you will be expecting God to give you, but God is placing you in a position to have a mind to give. A mind to what? I can't hear you. A mind to what? Whenever you are in a dire need and you need God to intervene for you, one of the foremost actions he wants you to have or undertake is the action of giving generously. And you can see that this is not a comfortable giving. That's why she's explaining. Any giving that makes you explain is pushing you into the realm of sacrifice. If it doesn't make you explain, if it doesn't make you say, God, see, there is school fees, there is rent, and I'm getting. Once you start explaining, it means that it's not a normal giving. Are you here with me at all? You know, when I'm preaching this, I want to see a smile on your face because I'm bringing you a blessing. So, you are in a dire need of a job, need of finances, need of a husband, whatever. Need is need. In the kingdom, one of the principles of faith that will make you connect to collect from God is financial giving, material giving. Some people say it's a transactionary ministry or it's a transactionary message. But the position of the Bible is different, of course. Some people exploit other people and all of that. But God's principle is his principle. That when you are in the position this woman found herself in, you are going to be required. God says, I have commanded her to give. I have commanded her to sustain you. It's a command for you to take that action. I believe in God for a visa. That's why the people of the world don't understand, because they don't need to understand. This is how our kingdom operates. Other kingdoms operate differently. But those of us who are in Christ, this is how it operates. And so you could see clearly that this is a kind of giving that sometimes you need encouragement to do. So the prophet told her in verse 13, look at that. Because this message, once we are preaching about giving God money, if you are not careful, you will sleep. Elijah said to her, fear not. Because this is, you see, when it has to do with giving your material, it may bring you a lot of fear. There, you can see that the real natural responsibility laid on you there. Rent is there. School fees is there. Insurance premium is there. Are you here with me at all? Buying a shoe, buying something that is basic for your sustenance. All these things will be there. Tientian's got to buy a ticket or to go and watch the World Cup. All of that will be there. Then you are commanded to give. God will command your heart or bring you a word that will say you have to give it. And then you say, mm-mm. Then we have to encourage you. The prophet said, go beyond the fear. You are afraid that when you give this last one, you know, something terrible will happen. So the prophet started preaching encouragement message. Madam, fear not. Fear not. Go. I see that because the woman was going, when they said bring water, she was going, and then they said bring food, now she stopped. So many people will be willing. Water is spirit. We'll be willing when we say, do some spiritual sacrifice. Oh, we are just doing kra. But once you now bring in adding material to the spiritual, say, hey, say, can you be him? Say it again. Say it. Did you really mean so? Why are you saying so? I want to tell you that what is on ground is not enough. So this one that you are saying, I respect the anointing, I'm just telling you, it's a very hard thing you ask. So the prophet now started to encourage her. You know, today I'm encouraging you, because the state you find yourself in, financially, materially, the level you find yourself in this life, this is not the level God wants for you. But if God doesn't bring you this word of encouragement to use this force of the kingdom, you will repeat yourself in this state for a very long time. So fear not, because so many people, they will be afraid to give a certain amount to God. Kwesi, I heard that this guy, the water took over. No one's water carried his whole house. Were you able to drive your car away? You couldn't. The water took the car. Allah. God have mercy. Have you seen Noah's time, how they struggled? Yeah. You are part of the Noah generation. But you enter the ark in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Then God is bringing this way. Right now, she's planning on, because all his wardrobe is gone. And the wife too. And you come to church and it is him God is talking to this morning. Yes, that you have to outgive yourself. And you say, oh, pastor, even God knows that the amount of money I have then is not much. And I need to buy a shirt and a trowel and a new tie for my work and all of that. God said, bring it here. Hey, bring it here. Stop that. I will leave the tie. Get out of the tie. Hey, I'm not preaching here. It's you, Pa, God is talking to. You that has worn sandals this morning. Every time you're wearing shoe tie like that, when Noah happened, he started wearing sandals. During the money to buy the shoe, no, God will collect it from you. Hey, say, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me. Bring it. Tell somebody you need encouragement to bring. You need encouragement. If it is easy like that, you have not entered into sacrifice. That's it. It's within, you know, what you can handle emotionally. Sacrifice will make you emotional. And then you are now trusting in God fully. Hey, praise the Lord. I'm feeling the preaching. This is Old Testament. Now, so Old Testament, they are giving things. In the New Testament, the Lord even requires of us to give more than in the Old Testament. Somebody say more. Yeah. The New Testament sacrifice that Jesus demands is greater than the Old Testament. Why do I say so? Because in the old covenant, the demand was for things. But under the new covenant, God requires our very lives. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. Let's read that scripture. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable what? Your whole body, your whole being is required under the new covenant. Not just your things. Your very self, together with whatever you stand for. Just imagine all your money is on a credit card and it's in your pocket. All your document of your buildings and all of that, you have put them in your pocket. Everything you own in life, and then you get into a stage and God says that, you, with everything you have, go and lie on the altar. You see that you are not just on the altar with just your body. Your credit card is on ground. Your document, everything, they are on ground. Everything you stand for that God gives you or gave you is placed on the altar. That is the level of the new covenant requirement. Under the old covenant, you see, and the New Testament is always asking for more. Under the old covenant, for instance, when it comes to fornication and adultery, it says that don't sleep with another man's wife. If you commit fornication, like the very act of it, you have sinned. Now you come to the new covenant under grace. It says that if you are even thinking about undressing a lady in your mind, you have not done the duo. Charlie, if they add that one to the bill, say that if you look at a woman and you desire her in your heart, all of you having crushes on people, you have already sinned. Sinners everywhere. See the girl in church, Charlie, the girl fine. It has entered the data. You are thinking, level is high. It's a motive matter. Are you here? Is the preaching going down now? We are building foundation. Because sacrifice has been bastardized in our generation and has made many people, we have seen that it has made many people poor, powerless. To be powerful and prosperous as a child of God, you cannot set aside sacrifice. So you can see that the Lord requires our very lives to be given in sacrifice. We should offer it. Verse 1, please. We should offer it, our very bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. That's just the barest minimum you can do. Your reasonable sacrifice. This is just the barest minimum you can attain to. That we can even go to higher dimensions under grace. If there is any time to give, is giving under grace. And outgiving yourself. Praise the Lord. So, I want to run you through a few things. And we'll stop where we stop. Praise the Lord. In Mark chapter 8 verse 34. Mark 8 34. It says that, and when he had called the people with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. If you will be my disciple, you will come after me, whoever. Male, female, whatever you think, whoever you are. One. If you are coming after Jesus, which is grace, operating under grace, let him deny himself. That's a first level of sacrifice. You must deny yourself. You cannot be sacrificial walking with Jesus when you do not know how to deny yourself. Denying yourself means that you set your comfort aside. You don't give based on your convenience. You inconvenient yourself to make God happy. Denying yourself is making yourself uncomfortable so that someone else will be comfortable. And mostly a superior being or a being of love. Are you here with me at all? Will be more. He said, deny yourself. Die to the flesh. Two, take up your cross. Be purposeful. Take your assignment. Follow through with sacrifice. It's a weight. I was sharing on Wednesday that this is the heaviest weight Jesus carried physically for an expression of a spiritual redemption unto people. So there's a way that you give heavily and it does something supernaturally. Natural giving triggering spiritual solutions. Are you here with me at all? It says that if you're a follower, this is the requirement to follow Jesus. Deny yourself. Carry a cross. Your cross. And sometimes your stinginess can be your cross. Or not wanting to be generous towards God can be a cross. Bible says that, what do you gain for having the whole world and losing your soul? It says that if you do that, you are not rich towards God. There is no prosperous, if you like, call it rich man or woman on earth who is not generous materially towards a spiritual cause. I didn't say they always give to church. They either give to God, they give to devil, or they give to people, but the people are sitting on altars. Either it's God's altar or Satan's altar. Or they give to a cause which either supports God's cause or Satan's cause. Are you here with me at all? And that fuels their wealth. These are principles heavy in the spirit. So you can be desiring for the levels people have attained to. It's a rich man, it's a rich woman, it's a successful person. Underpinning these people's life is the fact that they give to a spiritual cause. Materially. Some give to orphanages. Some give to whatever. They give to different things. Give to church. Give to shrine. People give to different things and different places. And so you can see, he said, look at the next verse. He says that in the kingdom, whosoever will save his life will lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall be saved. So, for us Christians, the way we save our lives is to lose it for the sake of Christ and lose it for the sake of the work of Christ, the gospel. Praise the Lord. We lose it for the sake of what? Christ and his kingdom work. So when we are given, that's why it says that whosoever shall follow me, the sacrifice has a figure of following, a focus of following. And that focus or that figure of focus is Christ. So when you are giving to the kingdom, you are not giving to pastor, as many say. Praise the Lord. Even if they use some to pay the pastor or to reward the pastor or whichever people the church rewards, for you giving, the focus is that I'm giving to Christ and his work. And pastors being paid or being supported by your giving is giving towards the gospel. Praise the Lord. Some people are trying to make us have a problem with that. But it shouldn't be a problem if you are well taught. It will only be a problem when you are not well taught. Because you came to follow Jesus. In this church, pastor will come, pastor will go. But you came to follow someone who is unchanging. And that person is what? Jesus Christ. So the men that you will sustain, the women that you will sustain, they will come and go. But they will spend on the Jesus you have come to spend on. Praise the Lord. I want you to know that the frankincense they brought to baby Jesus, when Mary applied it upon baby Jesus, some touch her hand. The perfume, the room that Jesus, in that manger, Mary was smelling something good about it. You cannot separate the offering you give to the master. And you can't separate the servant administering the work of the sanctuary from having an impact, from it affecting them. It's not possible. Whatever the man was supposed to do, the gold they gave to Jesus, is it not the parent who carried it? But they brought it to Jesus. Don't be offended because God's people are using what you brought to Jesus. Don't be offended. Tell somebody, don't be offended. One more time. Tell somebody, don't be offended. I'm using this microphone. And it is what you brought to Jesus that we used to buy this microphone. Should you be offended? So for my sake and for the gospel's sake, it's powerful. We are going to give for the sake of the gospel. Tell somebody, me, mention your name to the person. I am going to give for the sake of Jesus and his work. So in the kingdom, why do we give? We give for what purpose? Sake of what? And what? For the sake of Jesus and his work. We give for the sake of the king and his kingdom. We give to the king and his what? Kingdom. What we give to the king is used for his kingdom. Tell somebody, so don't be offended. Let me just dwell here. Tell somebody, don't be offended. Don't be offended. Give to the king and his kingdom. Everything I'm wearing here is what was given to the king. That has touched me too. I bought the dress. Somebody brought me the watch. When the person brought me the watch, I Evans knew the brand. Me, I didn't know the brand. He said, it's a great brand. I said, hey, Evans, you know watches like that. I didn't buy it. You can be offended that, oh, pastor is wearing this, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. No. It's a gift. It's what? It's a gift. Last week I was in UK. A man gave me a certain amount. He said, pastor, when you are going, I want you to go and shop. And he met me at the airport. I was running around and he said, did you have time to shop? I said, yes. It's a gift. I went to preach. And I was eating around the altar. They gave me willingly. I also collected. Not by compulsion. Do not be offended. Are you here? That God is doing what he wants to do. Do not be offended. Some people make sensational news from preaching. And because many people in the world don't have a kingdom perspective about how God and his kingdom, Jesus and his kingdom operates, they can just ride on this sensational preaching, which mostly sit well with people who are not Christians, even though sometimes they think they are Christians, or who are baby Christians, some are also carnal, and some hate God genuinely. And so it makes the work of God become an easy target. Have you seen the project we are doing? The money we are using to build the foundation alone can build a whole church facility, maybe two churches. But all that money has become the substructure. It's God's work. Because we can't, God forbid, we can't build and let the building be a risk to people's lives. It will not happen in this house. Please, do you understand? So when we are giving, Jesus is our focus. Tell somebody, I will give my money to Jesus. If you know the things people sponsor with their money, some of the things we contend with, it's not just about passing a law. There are funders who would threaten a government that if you do this, we will cut supply. Aid will not come. Funding will not come for education. It will not come for this. It will not come from maybe in me outside. Except you include their interest here and there. So you think you are dealing with a moral issue. They are thinking about something else. And they are bent on. Are you here with me at all? They are bent on. These days, if you're a pastor and you don't talk well, you are going for a visa in some other countries, you go to your social media and check that you have been preaching about this and this and this. No, you won't come to our country. That's how strong people have put in money until it's become restrictive to some people from discussing some things. It's more than a religion to some people. I was in Manchester last year, and a particular place, a whole community, There's a flag there for some people. It's not easy. Every brother working there is working like my sister, I know. That's the power of investment. Power. If you and I are Christians, we should understand the power of investing in the King's kingdom, the King's work. Praise the Lord. I'm not talking about sacrifice in a broader sense. That one you have heard. Serve in the house. But I'm talking about cash. I'm talking about what? I'm talking about you putting your money into the work of God. Pastors are not able to preach it. They are gagged from preaching. They whine. In the kingdom, you put money in the kingdom. The money you put in the kingdom advances the work of the King. Praise the Lord. Come on now, praise God. It's too powerful. I am very determined that when God blesses me, I will not just give to the King, but I will sacrifice to the King for showing me goodness. Praise the Lord. Why did I say sacrificial giving to the kingdom? Kingdom financial sacrifices. Why is it a sacrifice? Sacrifice is offering substance that are dear or precious to you. Sacrifice is what? Offering substance. That substances that are dear or precious to you. Substance is precious to you. It's dear to your heart. I was just telling you the last time that I gave something to Eva and said, "Me the man, I did not come and say, hey, see, hey, anyway, there is sacrifice. Me the man, I am so opoku ko boy. My new one cry. Me the man, I am so abo ni di him. See, I did so the man ario. Ngu ni mu ase. Me so I come and say, hey. And I say, no, the guy he deserves it. It's a sacrifice. Are you? Tell somebody to be practical. Be practical. Some people try to cover a lot of things with spirituality and they cry inside. You have to be practical. What do you term as a sacrifice? It is offering financial or material things to God and His work that is dear and precious to you. If it is not dear and precious to you, you cannot say it's a sacrificial giving. It has to be precious. It has to be costly for you to say it's a sacrifice. It may not be costly to me because we have different measures and different capacities. But you that is the giver, it has to be costly to you and it has to be precious in your sight. Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6. He's saying that you will know what you are doing is a sacrifice when you find yourself in this dimension. Number one, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. You will know it's a sacrifice because you are sowing in tears. In what? You are sowing in what? Talk to me. It's a sacrifice because you can feel the tears. You are sowing and you are crying. Next verse. He that goeth forth and weepeth. Charlie, it's not easy. You are going forth to sow and you are crying. You are weeping. When Jesus was on the cross, was he not weeping? That's a true sacrifice. Because you will be ordinary and go be sanye free across and so. But why you want winning in tea? You're born as you know that so tired of a pepe. And they sacrifice. Yes, I'm coming away and tea. Today we can be laughing. You reap with joy if you can undergo the tears of the sowing. So you don't say, oh, it was really powerful because I was very happy doing it. No, listen. The happiness, it's a level of capacity of faith you build. To be happy whilst you are crying. To be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. You can be crying and happy at the same time. And the reason why you'll be happy whilst you are crying is because you have a revelation. Revelation does not exempt you from crying. Because some of the things God wants us to do for him, it will hurt us. But we will have joy in the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on now, praise the Lord. That's why, you know, when someone dies in the Lord, we can be crying and happy at the same time. Because we know the end of that person. It's by revelation. But they ask for the natural grieving there. It will be there. So you can't tell somebody that, oh, don't cry as if, no. When someone you love dies, your emotions will be pricked. And so you will cry, but it is not a cry of a hopelessness. Because you have a revelation that is a Christian and is going to a better place. But to lose someone by your side is painful. And sometimes the way you lose the person could be very painful. He was saying something that they talked to one of their colleagues at work. He said something, he asked whatever. He went to the hospital. He had cardiac arrest. Said, so how is it possible that I was with this guy 45 minutes ago and then the next call is that he's dead? You will cry now. Sanity. Losses are not easy to deal with. You go sowing in tears. You are sowing in what? You know, this series, I like it. But you have to be a robust giver. A resilient giver. You have to be a giver. You are a hard giver. You are what? Hard giver, to the point that, you know, hard givers, it is God that stops them. He said, this one you are giving is dangerous. Don't give. Or else, yeah, hard giver. Ajiwante. Ajiwante. One man, he has built 60 churches for Assemblies of God Church. One man. Say, I receive it. I can't hear you say, I receive it. Hard giver. I heard the wife giving a testimony about the husband. He said, my husband is a Christian. He's my husband. He's not perfect. Like any other human being. But one thing I love about my husband is that wherever the work of Jesus is, he will be there. I just want to Jesus King Green. Is on ground. Praise the Lord. I can't hear you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He's not perfect. But if Jesus is there, you will feel him there. Too powerful. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. Yes. It has to be precious. It has to be precious. Bearing precious seed. Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaf. You go weeping, bearing what? I can't hear you. Bearing what? Listen to me. In this church, based on your capacity, I will clearly know, and you yourself, you will know clearly whether you are meant for prosperity or you are meant for poverty. One of the things that would define it before God spiritually is your willingness to painfully give to God because you have revelation. And remember in Matthew chapter 6, it teaches us that these three must work together. You are praying, you are fasting, you are giving. Cornelius, your prayer and your almsgiving. Are you here with me at all? Ministry of what? Of the word, of prayer, and serving tables. The three work together. A threefold cord is not easily broken. They must work together. Mostly Christians, we like the ministry of the word and prayer. We are praying and we are fasting. And then when it comes to giving, we have ideas. But the three must work together for you to prosper. Say, I will prosper. And say, I know the key. One more time. Say, I will prosper. And I know the key. Can you rise up and move to about five people and say that, I have seen the key to your prosperity. You are combining prayer, fasting, and financial giving. Tell them, financial giving. It's a key. I know the key. Praise the Lord. Ask someone, do you know the key? Tell them, this morning you are learning that the key is financial giving. Hardcore giving. As a child of God. To the king and his kingdom. One more time. Say, I stand for hardcore giving. Radical giving of finances to the king and his gospel. The king and his work. Open your mouth to say it, and so that the grace will come upon you. Say, I stand as a child of God to give financially, sacrificially to the king and his kingdom. I am not one of those people that will hold back more than necessary. And now tell yourself, say, I am not poor. I have something to give to the king. And I will give it even if I'm crying. This one that you have given, you have not cried. What kind of giving is that? Give and cry. Cry giving. That thing has not hit you. Second service, I'm going to talk about three kinds of givers. Those who give what is available. Those who give what is affordable. And those who give what is valuable. Give crying. Cry giving. I love it. Look at verse 5. Let's see. Verse 5. Verse 5 of Psalm 126. 126, verse 5. They that sow in tears. They sow in what? They sow in tears. Why do you always want to sow not in tears? All your sowing is not bringing you any tears. There's a way you sow. When you get to the house, you stand in the mirror and say, Abba Zinamayi, what have I done? They that sow in tears, you are pushing the bar. They sow in what? Tears. You cannot separate the tears from the sowing. And the proper sacrificial sowing from tearing. The next verse says that you carry the seed and bringing it forth. As you are doing that, you are weeping, ma, because what you are carrying is very precious. Hey, normally we are looking for the end product. Doubtless, we come back rejoicing with testimonies. You sow in tears, you reap in joy. Talking about reaping in joy, but we have to talk about what the propeller to get to that dimension of reaping in joy. The propeller to get to that dimension where you would doubtlessly have a testimony. Some people know what to do to get the testimony in the kingdom. Don't let anybody lie to you. This kingdom is not normal. Paul said it's not in meat and drink. It's also not in words. It's in power. It's in what? It's supernatural. Say it's supernatural. One of the things that this kingdom answers to
is sowing financially, materially to the king and his business.
Don't use your singing as your sowing. We are past that level. Tell somebody here. Tell somebody here and there. Don't use your singing. Can you say, "Me di ni na ba ya si do"? Edebe debe oboa, oboa 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 oboa. Unfa di ni na ya si da. Eradi asel o na unzo asel. Asida nyungu ana meto aye nyungu. Hey, fesika kaho. Kati obi se fesika kaho. I can't hear you. Oh, Tony Mana Usu, Tony Mana Usu said, when in Ajua, Wakume Mose, then, yeah, Ukraine's Kana Usu and Yeni Giasem. When you are crying because of money you did not receive, but you are going to give. No. First account, send your way, Timothy, and what Bob Brema Grandma would do. It's almost can show. Praise the Lord. And now people will say, "Me, I don't have anything. Me, I don't have anything. Me, what I have is small." Blah, blah, blah. A woman sold her might. Call it widow's might. Big givers from small resources. I mean, the 2 men and say, "Hey, Mahajani." The woman in Kings, what we read, he said, "If I give you this, the prophet said, it doesn't work in the kingdom. Once you give, this house will never see lack." And it is not God who said it. He told the prophet to go and tell the woman that I'm asking you to do something very difficult, but once you obey and do it, you, the prophet, tell the woman what I told you, the prophet, tell the woman. I have commanded her, but I want you to, you see, it is not the spirit of God that will tell you that if you give me this, I will give you that. Or if you give me this, I will do that to you. He will tell the preacher to preach a message of faith to you that will stir your heart to take that action and tell you what God will do. No one has outgiven God before. You hear the word of the Lord. You shall return with joy in Jesus' name. You will return doubtlessly, bearing your sheaf, your testimony. I don't know what you need. I don't know what you want in this life. But I'm declaring that as you sacrifice for the king and his kingdom, you shall return with your testimonies. That amen is not coming out at all. You will return with increase, with prosperity, in the mighty name of Jesus. I declare you are blessed. As you sacrifice for the king and his kingdom, you are blessed. Let the amen come out. I can't hear you shout it better. It's powerful. Say, "I'm blessed." As I give to the kingdom, I'm blessed. Don't you see that people who give to the kingdom big, big things, they keep giving. They keep giving. Sabata kanapata. Zebeleketa. Talking about giving money. This building we are building, people have been giving up. We have not asked anyone to give yet, but people have been giving. And they don't give, you know. Last week I saw one sister give one seed. I said, "Hey, this one now you are giving this very big seed, it's like you mean business with court." She laughed. Onupen onimni aoye. He said, "Oh, yeah, sorry, that you mean we have a come up here. We have a come up here, it's our church." Adumuwa, sorry, that in home. There is grace for everyone in the kingdom. How do you contact grace? For your journey here on earth, functionally,
is based on your investment in the kingdom concerning the work of the king. Corinthians says that once you do that, he will make all grace abound. So make up buffers to energy grace. It's correct, but something can be missing if you don't know how to link all the fine ends together. I want us to pray before we close. This thing is spiritual. Is what? Say, I break free from any spirit of withholding more than is required from God. I can't hear you. Say, I pray right now from any heart that is not generous, that is not liberal, for not having a liberal heart. Holy Spirit, I pray right now, give me a heart that is sensitive towards you, that is liberal towards you, in the mighty name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray right now. Oh my God. Say, Father, I am a liberal soul.
I'm a liberal soul.
I give freely to your kingdom.
I give freely to your kingdom.
Even if it's sacrificial.
Even if it's sacrificial.
I accept that this is my lot.
I accept that this is my lot.
I deny myself.
I deny myself.
I carry my cross.
I carry my cross.
And I follow you alone, Jesus.
I follow you alone, Jesus.
For your sake and your gospel.
For your sake and your gospel.
All that I have.
All that I have.
I commit into your work.
I commit into your work.
Into your hands.
Into your hands.
In sacrificial giving.
In sacrificial.
My Father,
put the resources
into my life, and I will sacrifice it
unto your work.
Open your mouth and pray. Put the resources into my life. Lift your hand, say, I break the power of lack.
I break the power of lack.
One more time. Say, by revelation of the spirit of giving.
Of the spirit of giving.
I break the power of lack.
I break the power of lack.
And poverty.
And poverty.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Mighty name of Jesus.
Say, I move.
I move.
By the force of giving.
By the force of giving.
By the revelation of giving.
By the revelation of giving.
And I destroy.
And I destroy.
The power of lack.
The power of lack.
And poverty.
And poverty.
In my life.
In my life.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of
open
Jesus.
Open your mouth and pray.
Santa Pata,
I declare that the windows of testimonies, they are open. The windows of testimonies, they are open. The windows of testimonies, they are open. The windows of testimonies, they are open.
Ayanda la patola patola, ayanda la patola patola, ayanda la baso bakia, waperia petola pat, ashala pata, ikabala pata, waperia petola pata, lepanda pasha, asula pekaya. Atula patena patata, adosata, adusata kapa, atula pata, aperia petula.
Thank you, Father. What a blessing. Say, I don't have any covenant with poverty.
I don't have any covenant with poverty.
My covenant is with prosperity.
My covenant is with prosperity.
They say, I am prosperous.
I am prosperous.
Prophesy. Say, I am prosperous.
I am prosperous.
One more time. Say, I am prosperous.
I am prosperous.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Clap your hands and bless the Lord.
Be a part of our family on social media at the Keeper's House Chapel International. Visit us at the Testimony Arena, Jefamco Junction, Medina Estate. You can also follow Reverend Francis Albing on all social media platforms. God bless you.